Welcome back to another episode of the Big Asp Cornhole Podcast. The best looking brothers in cornhole are with you today. What's going on, Dane?
Did you just make that up?
I did.
Wow.
Hey.
Spot on.
Why not?
Spot on. And I'm doing fine.
Oh, good. Well, good.
Yeah.
I'm happy. All right. So, Dane, do what you do. Let the people know what we're sipping on in a segment we call What You Drinking.
What you drinking?
Brought to you by our friends over at Colorado Cornhole Connection. Are you looking to get brand new boards? Do you want them to have sweet graphics? Head on over to iHeartCornhole.com and get yourself a sick set of boards. Use code BIGASP10 for 10% off your purchase. Sean, sipping on tonight is a beer that is close to our heart because it's brewed right here in Cleveland.
It is.
We reviewed its, I guess it's a cleaner brother, because this is the Juicy ASAP IPA from Saucy Brewworks, and we love the ASAP IPA. This one is much better.
I have yet to try anything from Saucy Brewworks that I didn't like.
Yes, and like we also reviewed Three Hose Ale like really early on. That was like our second episode ever. That one's phenomenal as well. But Juicy ASAP, 6.5%. Not as strong as our strongest beers on here, but a fantastic drinking beer. So go get yourself from Saucy Brewworks.
Once again, we're going to be bringing you all cornhole content that's going to keep you on the edge of your seats. We are jam-packed with bags this episode. Okay, we're going to be reviewing four sets of bags.
Four.
Made by Notorious Bags.
Notorious.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yep, hell yeah. Right.
And then we're going to be joined by the OG cornhole legends, Steve and Jen Vandiver. But first, we bring you what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Brought to you by Airwolf Athletics, helping athletes become the alpha in all aspects of life. I'm rocking the hat right now. The thing's badass, all right? They can't wear them in Hawaii, so we got them up here in Cleveland. Get yourself some swag at airwolfathletics.com. Use code BIGASP for 10% off your purchase.
All sports have iconic symbols, and in cornhole, the throwman symbol means excellent, winning, and family. When you pair that iconic symbol with the only number in cornhole that matters, 21, you get Blackjack Cornhole. Check out blackjackcornhole.com because there's no coincidence that cornhole is played to 21. Orders over $50 can save 10% if they use code BIGASP. Again, that's one word, code BIGASP. All right. So, Dane, obviously you didn't get to play in league because everything's fucking shut down here again. They do not like big events, and it's basically cornhole in Cleveland, because yes, our conference championship was supposed to be this week. It was supposed to be a weekend of bliss, okay? I had set up so that my mother and father-in-law were going to come in from out of town, specifically for this weekend. Why? So Sean can get the fuck out of the house all day and play some cornhole all day. I'd registered us for everything. Friday night was going to be the blind draw. Saturday morning was crew cup, and then we were playing advanced doubles and singles. But no. So it gets canceled. Thanks, COVID. Fuck 2020. I'm over this shit. But anyways, we still played cornhole.
We did.
We got together yesterday on Saturday. So we're recording on Sunday, which is kind of unusual for us, but why the fuck not?
Why not? 2020.
So we got together on Saturday, threw for about 2.5 hours.
Hell yeah. That was a good time.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean,
we let it rip with the Notorious Bags to start.
We did,
just get us a refresher on them. Great bags, good quality. We'll go through that in a little bit.
Absolutely.
Dude, first off, like, your throw has gotten so flat. I was very impressed by it.
Been working hard, man.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. You were throwing carpet against me all day, ripping through with the Patriots. I think was probably your best bag on the day.
It's probably my new favorite.
You were ripping it nice. And I was actually threw suede against you a couple times. I wanted to try out my sick kill shot 223s with that badass Bart Simpson on it. And, dude, suede's so much fun to throw. I love to throw it.
And so we decided when our matchups, we were going to go all, like, slower type bags. Yeah. So we either went carpet or we went suede. After the first game, we switched bags. You threw the Patriots. I threw suede against you. Every single match we had, and this is pretty typical when we play each other, whoever leads the match is going to lose.
Yes.
And it's always close. It's always 20, somewhere in the range of 21-17, if not closer.
I mean, we only played four matches and we played for 2.5 hours. So that'll tell you.
Yeah, because our first 10, maybe 15 minutes, we threw the Notorious back just to make sure they're fresh in our head before we're recording. But yeah, then the last four, I mean, there were one of our matches, I don't know if it was the first or second one, it went almost 50 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
a long round.
Yeah, just kind of battling back and forth, and just, it seemed like the only time I could score is, like, if I was scoring huge bunches.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, you were kind of just nickeling and diming.
I got to get you on my boards where, you know, they're flat, and, you know, wind's not such a huge factor.
It was windy.
Because I know you practice on in those wind tunnels you call your sidewalk all the time. So.
And we've talked about this before. So one direction, you're throwing with the wind slightly downhill.
Yes.
The other direction, you're throwing slightly uphill against the wind.
Yeah.
So the one direction, you can just cock back and just fucking
rip it. Dude, I felt like I had to crow-hop into it.
So I literally always throw a slick side going that one side just because I know I need a little extra.
Yeah.
And the other side, I always throw a little soft. But I can keep pretty much the same throw, which is kind of nice. But
yeah, I mean, you know that nuance. But anytime I try to throw a cut shot, I was watching that bag just get pushed about 2 feet. Every time, so you know, like,
but I'm adjusting to like the things that Anthony had talked about us changing our throws. You were definitely, I know you've been working on not moving your feet. I know you were making a conscious effort of doing that yesterday. What I really was trying to work on, I flattened out my bag a lot. First of all, the grip, the kind of butterfly-esque
you do like
grip.
A pseudo butterfly.
I'm not
like
holding it in
butterfly.
My palm anymore. I'm holding it out on more of my fingers. The biggest difference it made for me was instead of holding more in the middle of the bag when I'm gripping it, now I'm back, like, I'm basically gripping the very back of the bag when I'm throwing it. That made all the difference in the world. I wish I would have fucking tried this a long time ago, because now I feel like I'm not really doing a whole lot different when I'm releasing the bag. It's just coming out flat. Much, much flatter, and I'm trying not to dip as much.
And that's, I noticed you were not, like,
I clipped my pants a few times, and that's just, I just have to kind of get used to it.
You just gotta, you know, just wear, like, Speedos, tight fit clothes.
I think it's just,
get up Timmy Jonas, he'll hook you up with his tailor.
For sure.
He'll get you some real nice short, tight shorts.
But I am working on it, so it was nice to throw a flat bag, and then, now that I was throwing the flat bag, and I was able to even get the left to right kick, which is a natural for righty, you kind of went over, okay, now that you're doing this, we have to add a cut shot and a little bit of a roll bag, but it was more of like that wheel bag.
Yeah.
If you watch Anthony Agno's most recent roll bag video on cornhole science, the big thing was definitely making sure that you're getting a tons of angle on it.
Yeah.
And he went over the differences of like a flop bag, a roll bag, wheel bag, all that stuff. So the one that I was hitting marginally, okay, was more the wheel bag.
Yeah, and
it finally made sense.
It was fun to watch you test it out.
Well, listen, I got cocky because the first three I threw against you, it was a big mess of a fucking round. I'm like, well, fuck, I'm already, I mean, I'll give up a point if I miss this. And I rolled it right over this big pile, went in the hole. And I'm like,
oh, man, it worked.
Oh my fucking God. And I think that was like the only time I hit it. Like, I hit it the first two times and that was it. But the other thing was hitting a cut shot was huge for me, because I've never actually had that. Now, I'm not accurate with it yet, but now that I understand how to hold the bag and how to follow through, and it's all about, like you were telling me yesterday, adjust the angle and how much I want it tipped
up.
It's
all the wrist angle, man.
It's going to make a big difference, and it's just going to add that next level to my game. So it was good. I mean, I felt like we both threw pretty well yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it was just, I mean, battling the elements was my hardest part, because when I practice right now, I'm indoors.
Yeah, and then the other part with us is, I think we always throw the best against each other just because we're kind of lax.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, we were hitting, like, there was times that I was just shooting an airmail on the third bag just to drag one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hitting it, but I was still,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I wouldn't do that in a game.
Yeah,
though.
We just have a little confidence, and we're just, you know, we step up, we're relaxed, and we kind of just throw, and we tend to throw very well when we're going against each other. But it was good. I felt like I got a lot out of it, and that's kind of what I was hoping for. I needed time just to go out and to practice and just get reps against somebody. If I go out and play Ghost, like, I do get bored after a little bit of time, so then I end up playing, like, Ghost defense, and I find, like, if there's nobody there watching and critiquing me, it's hard to make all those adjustments by yourself. So I was happy to be able to throw against somebody and actually get some real live time practice.
I mean, it might be the last that we get for a while.
Fuck,
the way,
man.
The weather's up. So
it sucks. I mean, I'm already
glad we were able to get out.
I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, for all these bag reviews coming up, how the fuck am I going to do? I mean, because they're calling for snow this week, and it's probably going to be downhill from here. So maybe one other time we'll be able to get out. I'll probably have to set up a board in my basement. It's going to be short, but at least I can get the idea of how a bag might play, stuff like that. But
I'm going to give you hope, though. In 2018, it snowed on Thanksgiving.
That's true.
And I golfed on Christmas Day.
That's true.
So
that's true.
We always have a turnaround.
I mean, regardless, it's going to be shitty from like January to March. We know that.
Yeah.
Pretty much into April as well. So
we'll be able to get out from time to time, but there's no guarantee each week we'll have a day out.
And I just don't have an indoor place to play right now, which sucks. So, all right. Well,
that's enough of our woes.
For sure.
Let's move on to what the people want to hear.
Hell yeah. All right. So this is Bag Review Time, which is brought to you by Bagsboard, the maker of the original cornhole bag backpack. The highest quality materials used to craft these bags are made right here in the USA, America.
America. Hell yeah.
Need patches? Bagsboard has some of the best around. Visit Bagsboard.com and grab yours today. Okay, so up on today's episode, we have four bags, and we are reviewing the Notorious bags. Now, this has been months in the making.
Yeah,
right?
It's been a long time coming.
I was on Instagram one night, just kind of scrolling through the feed and everything, and I saw this badass logo on this brick wall, and it was spray painted across, said Notorious Bags. I'm like, holy shit, that's a sweet ass logo. So I reached out to the people, and I'm like, hey, love the logo. I'm a big fan of like graffiti style art. Are you guys making bags? And if so, if you could let us know, I'd love to try to review a set on our show. And this had to be 5 months ago, 6 months ago, probably. So I kind of just kept in contact. We were always talking back and forth. And then it came down to where they're doing the release soon. And he sent me a message and it showed a box. And he's like, this is heading your way. Check him out. I know a lot of people accuse us of liking every bag, right? And we've said it before that there are really no bad bags out there. They're just bags for different people.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone will like a different
bag. So, again, I'm not going to shit on somebody. If they send us bags, like, I'm going to find something positive to say because although it might not be for me, again, it might be for somebody else that likes something completely opposite of me. So who the fuck am I to judge it?
Now, you're making it sound like, you know, we weren't the hugest fans of these
Notorious
bags.
I say that because, holy shit, okay? Yeah. I'm going to be very honest. Out of these four bags, three of them I loved.
Yeah, hell yeah, they're cool looking. They play really cool. They play loved, really well.
So can we? Let's start with Pulse. All
right,
can we do that? So Pulse, and I'm going to be completely honest. Pulse is the one bag I wasn't like the biggest fan of. It's still very well made. The graphics on the bag are awesome.
Dude, dynamite.
The problem is this bag is nearly unthrowable. Okay, so again, this is the Pulse bag or the Pulse series, I guess if you want to call it. This bag is nearly unthrowable when it comes out of the box.
Yeah, I mean, it's stiff as a board.
This flat side almost feels, the slick side, I guess we call it, almost feels like cardboard, and it's almost as stiff as cardboard when you first get it. Now, I boiled these because I tried throwing them the first day, and not only are they a 10 out of 10 fast, but they are just so stiff, so stiff. It was hard to get a true sense of the bag. So I wanted to make sure that I boiled them, give them proper treatment, and I did. I boiled all these sets before I gave them to you because I felt like they needed a little TLC to break in for us to be able to give a fair review.
Fair enough.
Okay, so just that's
his disclaimer. Just
correct. It's out in the world now. Now, Pulse is a dual slick bag. It is a slick and slicker side, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very fast bag. 10 out of 10. I mean, if I left it on the slick side anywhere short of the board, it was coming off. And it wasn't just like this slow trickle sliding backwards.
Like it was doing like a hard 90 and then it's coming right back. Like
Now,
180,
the slower side of this, it's also used, I believe, is it the same stuff as, I think it's the same stuff as on tempo, and on rhythm, I think. But I liked it. The slower side for a slick material is nice. It breaks in. It broke in after boiling.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty nice. So if I kept it on the slower side of this, it was fine. But again, it's like a 9 out of 10. So it means a very, very fast bag. So if you are like a slick style bag player, you like something, you have a little need for speed, this is going to be up your alley. Now, I'm gonna tell you, you need to treat this bag.
Yeah.
This is not a bag, like, I swear, ever since we did our episode last week about how to break in bags, all I see are posts about like, why don't you just throw the bag? Fuck you. Okay? Like, we've gone over this last week and everything. Okay? I get that. Why don't you just get out and throw? Again, I don't get to go out and throw the fucking bags every day. I don't get to go to 5 blind draws, okay? So if you want to break, highly recommending breaking this in. Boil it, sack relax, whatever your method is, do it. probably twice.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that once that slick side breaks down, it's going to feel a lot like the glide material from Dragon.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's so thick that you know it's going to take some time to break in, like... But it has potential. Like, but it could get there.
If I'm looking for a slick bag, the feel is perfect.
Yes. Okay. I mean, that's what I love about these bags.
It's a looser bag, but the feel is universal in here. It's not overly filled, so it's not a real big, full bag. It's something that when you want something a little slinky, right? If you're playing with a super fast bag, you want something that's going to find every little nook and cranny, kind of slither in there. That's what this is going to do.
Yeah.
But again, you need to treat this bag more than once for it to really, before you're really going to get a full judgment of how this bag plays.
Yeah.
Agreed?
I totally agree. Yeah.
You have anything you wanted to add?
No. I mean, again, it has potential, but like.
And before I forget to say on all these bags, every one of these bags. Very well made.
Yeah.
The seams are great. I like the shape of all these bags. They have very rounded edges, but it's not... They're still a decent-sized bag. You know what I mean? And sometimes when you really round in the edges, you don't... It becomes like a really big bag. You know, sometimes it gets overly full. It's still relatively in between, not overly full, not super, super floppy.
Yeah, these things still lay flat when you, like, press them down and stuff. But, correct. Like, you know, some of those rounded ones, you almost feel like you're holding a stone rather than, you know, a bag.
Absolutely. So that was the Pulse bag. Yeah. All right, so I'll let you pick. What do you want to go with next?
Let's go with the Flow.
All right.
Go with the Flow, bro.
Now, this was your favorite?
Dude, I mean, it's a toss-up between the next three, honestly. I liked all three of them. But the Flow, to me, it reminded me so much of the RPG throwing it, and I'm a big fan of that from Killshots.
Yeah.
So, slow side...
Would you think... And again, not to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you think... to me, when I held it, especially when we threw it Saturday, first thing that came to me was, like, it feels a little bit like an RPG, kind of plays like a Widow.
I mean... Yes and no to me. Like, the fullness of it is what gives me that RPG feel, feel to it, as well as the slow side reminds me a lot of the player's material.
Yeah.
Even though it's not anything like it, it's fully synthetic that they have in here. Like, it's not going to fuzz up on you, but the way it plays is like that. And then the fast side to me was very similar speed to that woven side of RPG. Not as big of a weave, but... it's still a dual slick bag. I mean, I would give it like a 10 on the fast and like an 8.
Now, I would have completely 100% agree with you before we boiled them. Now that we treated them a little bit, it did slow down a little bit.
A little bit, but like I felt like we were also throwing in the elements, so it was hard to.
That's true.
It was hard to judge.
I would say if I really had to guess, I would say
I'm going off like my initial notes when I threw it indoors.
Okay.
And to me, like, this bag was cooking, but it's still a good speed, even though it moves.
Yeah, it's got a great feel.
Yeah, it'll grab the hole. This material, once you feel it, you just know that it's going to just kind of grab anything when it goes to drop in. And, it's a great push bag, too.
Like, it has a little substance. Yeah.
So, like, if you're able to stop it and leave one in front of the hole, this thing will clean it up real easy. Yeah. But also, again, a fuller bag.
Yep.
Great for airmails. Yep. I love throwing an airmail with this bag, and it hits hard on the board. So, for me, Flow's definitely up there. I mean, it's just a toss up because I like all three of these last ones remaining.
Again, Flow I really liked as well. This is another one of all three of them. This bag it definitely needs to be treated. 100% it needs to be treated.
I feel like all of these just need a little TLC.
Just
to
a little bit.
But I'm not talking like
the next two.
Don't
less.
Wash it in hot water with Downy and stuff. Correct. But like, just if you want to throw it in the wash and like one time, tumble dry it real quick. Just give it a little start, a little kickstart for you, or boil it. You know, sacrilege.
Yeah, I mean,
that stuff.
And it's not as much as the Pulse, okay? But this one, it was still stiff when I first got it compared to the next two bags that we're gonna do.
But after boiling, that bag feels amazing.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a really nice bag. I was very pleasantly surprised throwing it yesterday, how it went. It was a very, very good bag. All right, so let's go ahead and let's move on. Let's go to the Rhythm bag.
The Rhythm Man. Feel the rhythm. Sorry, go on.
Okay, so those are like one of those moments that like I just look at them. I don't really know what to do, and I kind of I try not to judge them, but it's not that
easy. Little do you know, they're my favorite moments with you.
Yes. So rhythm. compared to all these bags, the next two were my favorite. Rhythm, again, I guess if you want to consider it a dual, like, slick bag, it's fine, but I wouldn't
call it dual slickish.
Yeah, like, it's not super, super fast, but it's not slow either.
Yeah.
I am going to say the one thing I disagree, I think their speed ratings, like, if you go on their site, they have speed ratings for their bags. I don't know what boards they were testing them on or whatever, but I thought their ratings were, like, several notches below what I would have rated them at. Like, they had their, they had Pulse, right? Yeah. They had Pulse at a 9 on the slick side. There is no way in God's green earth that it's considered a 9. I'm sorry. Like, so to me, everything that I was kind of looking at, I'm like, well, okay, I guess we were spot on, but we were just like one notch faster than what they were rating it.
Now, maybe they have their ratings based on, like, if they're broken in.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
it could be.
Like,
could
real
be.
Broken in ones. So, I can see these materials breaking down that way. Maybe this, not the Pulse, though.
The Rhythm, it needs to break in a little bit, but compared to the first two bags, it didn't need that long of a break-in process. It plays a very nice speed. I would compare this to kind of like an all slide a little bit.
I think speed-wise, yeah.
On the slow side. Fast side plays at like 8 or 9. Great fill. Good feel in the hand. I really liked how it played. It's kind of right in my wheelhouse for speeds. What'd you think?
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of it. I mean, to me, like, the slow side, it has like that textured linen feel to it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like kind of like Victory-esque, but it doesn't quite play that way. But no, I mean, I felt like it was a very hole friendly bag. It's another great push bag that they have, and yeah, I mean, dude, it's a good, well made bag. Like, cool design, great stitch work, everything about it.
You kind of hit it on the slower side. It's like that linen type material. It's kind of similar to it.
I mean, it's not like carpet by any means, because it still moves. But it, like, it kind of has that like texture-ish feel to it.
I have a feeling that in like humid conditions, or if it gets a little moisture on the board, something like that, these are going to slow way down.
Yeah, those threads are going to absorb some moisture and probably slow that bag down considerably.
But again, very, very hole forgiving. It's a very controllable bag. If you hit it, it pushes the other bags very well.
It's a great push bag. And like, I like that there's not like, I mean, it's not a crazy variable on each side, which I'm a big fan of, because sometimes when you get those bags that the fast side's just lightning quick on it, people tend to just kind of like bounce off bags because they're afraid to throw it. So
yeah, and I felt comfortable just throwing the slower side on this all the time. Like, I felt like I didn't really ever need to change it up. It just has that really good speed to it. So again,
it's there if you need it.
I was a big fan of Rhythm. My favorite bag out of all these, okay, was Tempo. This is the last bag we're going to review. All right. This is a great feeling bag. The slow side, it's a little bit stiff at first. It plays like a 6 or 7 out of 10, but this is one that I felt I could have probably just kept throwing.
It wouldn't take that long.
I thought that when I was throwing it the first day, speed-wise, it was playing similar on the slow side to a 357, like that player's material. Yeah. It doesn't feel like player's material.
No, not at all.
But the speed is there. So I would say the speed of this one was playing at like, I don't know, like 5, 6.
It caught me by surprise how slow it played, actually.
Yeah.
Because it felt like it was going to be much
fast,
faster. But
it's synthetic. I mean, it feels like it's going to be fast, but
you know what?
It did slow.
Yeah, it holds up. It's nice.
It's a fuller bag. I think it's a little bit fuller than Rhythm. Yeah. Just a hair. A
little bit. But not as full as the Flow.
No, correct. But this is, again, I like the fill that they're using.
Yeah.
This blend that they have is really nice. It's a very clean bag. The shape of the bag is very nice. Rounded corners.
That's the bag, to me, that you can hit that cut shot with.
Yeah.
You can hit the roll bag with. You know, it's
a pretty versatile bag.
It is versatile, yeah. It is very versatile. And again, there's like not a huge discrepancy on that fast side and slow side, which I do like. And again, it's good for pushes.
And so of all these bags, I had said something to you after we got done throwing them yesterday, it was yesterday. I would throw these bags at like a regional tournament.
All right,
that is very high praise.
Yeah.
We've reviewed a lot of bags, and some of them we know deep down we're probably not gonna throw them at like a tournament again, right?
Yeah.
Nothing against them; they didn't fit our throw style. three of these four bags fit our throw styles that we could be competitive right away with these bags.
Yeah, and you know, I was impressed because it's different materials. It's stuff that we haven't seen.
Fucking, I love it. It's fucking like, unique. Yeah, every single one of these, I've never felt these materials before.
And they're unique without being gimmicky.
Yes. You know? Yes, so, yes, like, yes, it's, yes.
They're well-made different bags. And yeah, I mean, I'd be comfortable throwing these in a regional or conference at some point. Like, to me, like, out of all the new bag makers that we've had bring bags to us, like, they're right up there with, like, what Vortex came out with.
Yeah. Because
to me, like, Josh Zeller knocked it out of the park with his first series that he came out with as a new bag maker. Notorious is right there with them. Like,
I'm trying to think of all the new bags that we've reviewed recently.
And, like, we also have a lot coming up, too.
Correct. So I would say, like, of all the bags we've reviewed recently, I like Vortex.
Yeah.
I like the crossover.
Yes, I really like the crossover
from
as well, too.
From Bag Daddy.
Yeah, I'd say the Air Raid as well. I like that one too.
But Notorious to me was it was right up there. I mean, it was.
They make
these
some
are
good
really
bags.
Really nice bags. This will not be my only set of Notorious.
There are going to be some bags that need a little TLC, but like, give them a shot, people. Like, seriously, so
don't when you
good.
Get these bags out of the box, don't judge them right away. Don't be like, oh my god, like, do you feel how stiff this is? We're telling you now, they do feel stiff. They need a little time to break in, but be patient. Do whatever break-in method you feel like is best for you, or if you're like, I don't even know what's best, listen to the episode before this. We went over five different methods of how to break in bags. If you happen to buy a thing of Sacrilax, slap some Sacrilax,
slap it on there,
rub these sacks happens. Until your heart's content, and break these bad boys down. They need a little TLC, but afterwards, I'm telling you, deep down in the soul of these bags, they're phenomenal.
It's a great bag.
They are really, really great bags. Sure. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree.
All right, I don't know if you do you
is that
hear that?
Shameless plugs. Let it rip.
Boom. Reach us at Instagram and Twitter at Big Ass Cornhole
and Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors. Visit AirwolfAthletics.com for all your cornhole swag. Be sure to use code Big Asp for 10% off your purchase. And iHeartCornhole.com. For the best boards in the business. If you use code BIGASP10, you'll also get 10% off your purchase.
Bagsboard.com for the sexiest backpacks and patches in the game. And BlackjackCornhole.com for the sexiest bags and logo around. Code BIGASP can save you 10% on orders over $50. Big Ass merchandise is in, so make sure you're checking out Instinct Sportswear.
We're starting to see those hoodies pop up. Ooh. They look badass.
Go to the team section, find Ass Pulls, and we have hats, which are now available.
Yes.
If you order a hat, it's going to ship out because they're in right now.
Yeah, we'll ship them out ourselves.
Hoodies, t-shirts, stuff like that, because the quality is so great, it does take about 3 to 4 weeks just to get them printed. I'm telling you, they're worth it.
Yeah, just be patient.
But hats are in. So we do have dad hats, and we have flat bill hats, whatever's your style. We greatly appreciate your support. We'd love you. Our new patches are going to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
So we decided to change it up. We gave Mr. Nick Feinstein, sponsor of the show, we gave him a little liberty with our logo.
Hell yeah, and
we're like,
knocked it out.
Do what you want. He's like, I have some ideas for, instead of doing your old logo patch, do you mind if I change it up a little bit and just see what I come up with? I'm like, run with it. Let's just see. We loved it.
Hell yeah, looks awesome.
I mean, first take, like, yep, run with it, go with it. We're out of cornhole patches. So congrats. I know that was
a
proud dad moment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, proud
right.
dad moment. I mean, I was first patch I designed, and man, it sold out pretty damn quick.
It did.
So
2 weeks.
I'm excited to make up another one. So
2 weeks. I'm so fucking sick of filling out envelopes.
Again, you can give me some. Like, I have
shit.
Time. I can send shit
My
out,
God.
Man.
I'm so sick of that. All right. Well, stay tuned as we are going to be joined by OG Cornhole Power Couple, Steve and Jen Vandiver.
Hell yeah. I'm excited to talk to him. Like, I keep hearing stories.
They're like some of like the earliest memories I have watching like ACL on ESPN.
Yeah.
And I don't know like the whole backstory, so I'm excited to hopefully
they'll I want to
give us a little insight.
Shed some light on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, as always, we hope you throw it straight, and it's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornholing.
Later. Welcome back to the Big Asp Cornhole Podcast, where we are joined by OG Cornhole Royalty, Steve and Jen Vandiver. Guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us. This is awesome.
All right. Hey, so let's start off by, can you guys walk us through kind of your cornhole journey, like how you guys got involved in it, how long you've been playing? Just give us kind of like the foundation of where you guys are at today.
I'll tell you what I'll lead us up to when we met.
I was actually playing ACO at the time. I mean, we're talking 2004.
He's old.
You know, when the AC, actually, I was playing before that, and then the ACO came along, got going. That's how it got on. You know, got on the first, you know, ESPN episodes. The wife got into, I don't know how many years after that,
something like that. It was just before I won Queen of Cornhole, and that was 2012, just a few years before that. So I, like 2010-ish, I think.
Well, I was doing the traveling, the whole points thing, and her and her ex actually was running an ACO event up in Chicago area, right?
Oh, that was like a,
this is when our paths were. Talk about when we first, a lot of people don't even really know any of this stuff, so say, you guys are getting like.
There you go.
So we're finding out when you planted that seed then? Is that what we're coming across?
This is exactly
after. You say, people are watching this.
This is after hours stuff.
You're really holding firm to that. I mean, we're talking like friends with benefits situation going on. I don't know.
She's like worried somebody's going to be listening. And like, timeline.
You know, people really want into this our life stuff, and they're like, ooh, ooh.
Okay. But no,
we're two of them right here, so thank you.
He wore you down. It was, that's all it was. It just took a few years. He finally wore you down. It was all good.
You know, I've always heard that like several years of cornhole between friends automatically makes you lovers, right?
Listen, he's my brother. I look at him the same way. Like, this is ridiculous.
Exactly. You lucked out, Steve. You lucked out, all right?
Right on. So you guys, you touched a little bit that you were your ACO players early on. I remember one of the things, when I first started getting into cornhole, and I saw it on ESPN, you guys were some of like my earliest memories of seeing people on there. I know you were on ESPN broadcast, things like that. So I know you had some involvement with the ACL. I know, at least I don't think you are anymore. Can you tell us a little? So can you just tell us a little bit about the background history? Like, I know there's some sort of story. I don't know anything about it, but whatever you can tell us about it would be greatly appreciated.
Sure. With ACL, my paths crossed with him first when he was developing. I think at that time Stacy had a bunch of different games.
Yeah, he did all kinds of different things other than cornhole.
You know, ladder golf, and it was just kind of all goofy kind of crap. And he was trying to get going, and ran a tournament, and I met him down in Greensboro, North Carolina, down there at an event, and started working on some things together. And kind of was helping him get going, and that's how my relationship started with him. Seemed very good at the time. Yeah, we just kind of kept working on things. You know, and he kept growing and seeing cornhole was where it was versus what he was in at the time. You know, all the different games pretty much shedded all of those, started focusing on cornhole. You know, our relationship
brought us. What else got in the ACL? Like,
money.
What money?
ACL? They want to get on TV or something like that. I
mean, yeah.
When people literally pay to sit around, I mean, you want to get on TV pretty bad.
Yeah, I hope you guys don't open this can of worms.
It's open.
Oh, we're ready.
Listen,
we wanted this can of worms opened.
We were with ESPN quite a bit. I mean, the first year we played.
First couple of years,
And you were so quiet, too. I mean, that's what it was.
You see the event that when I was playing with Lester,
yes.
they were on her more than the game.
Quotes. I'm assuming you're mentioning BG. Is that where you're going to go with?
I'm going to go with, he was a sponsor.
Yeah. So he's out of, or BG was out of Wadsworth. We're about 30 minutes from there. So we're just south of Cleveland. We're about 10 minutes south of Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah.
At that time, I forgot about that BG was our sponsor.
Yeah, he was our sponsor.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time around. And then I had another gentleman requested to be a sponsor, and so we worked together, which is now our current business partner. So we did that whole deal. There was just some.
You better get back to where we quit.
We're going. In fact, we're trying to be nice about it, though. Too.
You don't have to be nice if you don't want to. It's okay.
We did this, and we had the sponsors, and just how. Sponsor, it was all sounded great, and it was all built up to be really neat in the beginning, but as you would get into certain areas of the event, you know, you get further along, you know, you got limited exposure if you had other sponsors other than
Cornhole.
It was very obvious. A lot of people didn't talk about it. Nobody said anything about it. We did. We saw it. We seen exactly. We brought it up, and they said, no, you're
not. I did.
You're out of your mind. They said, you're out of your mind. And I'm like, no, it is. We see this. It's not right. We have sponsors that pay.
It came down to, I made some comments on social media just saying that I didn't agree with the sponsor stuff. Basically, if I was to make it in the finals in the women's at that time, you had to change your jersey. I mean, well, what is the point of having sponsors then? You know, my sponsors are helping me pay my way. And I plan on being in the finals. I don't play to, you know, fart around. I'm there to play, and that I expect to be. That's where I want to be, and that's where I'm going to be. So I have a pretty good shot of being in it, and so I said that. You know, so if I make it to the finals, I can turn around and change my jersey. I said, I think that's horseshit. I said, that's crap. Turn around. I don't care whose jersey I'm changing into. It's not right. I mean, you don't make Michael Jordan and all these other people change their jerseys or any, you know, like
Yeah.
You have a sponsor, that's what you should always be wearing. Plain and simple.
Yeah, I agree.
No comments about that either. And so he brought that to attention, and they suspended me for that, and supposedly my one F-bomb that I said on TV, which is crap. You could barely hear it.
That's all right. Yeah, that's as long as you don't hear it, doesn't mean you didn't say, right?
No, there was actually other people at that event. That was at it was a college. What was that? It was an invite. We got invited.
Okay.
This is an infomercial for all cornhole. Is exactly what it was. Yeah. It was an infomercial for all cornhole, and they sent us there to throw those bags. Why? It was kind of like, we kind of felt like it was a setup, you know, and we felt like we walked into a setup.
Yeah, absolutely we did. And
they used us pros, people.
To launch the game changers. That's exactly when they came.
We had no business being there.
We didn't, you know, and we had a problem with it. We spoke up about it, and that's where we had the issue. And, you know.
So he suspended me, just me, not him.
Right.
And he was there with me. You know, basically anything I said, he said. You know, people asked us. It was four game changers. So what do you think the main topic was when people would ask us at this event? What do you think of the game changers? I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And I told him why. I just don't like the way the patch feels in my hand. The way I hold my bag, it felt funny.
So yeah, basically, it doesn't make sense.
When people that came to us asking what I thought of them, I told them I don't like them. I had Frank Modlin in the blind draw the night before. And I told him, I don't like them. I threw his bags because that's what he's comfortable with, so that's what we threw, and I ended up throwing them pretty well. But
better than him, actually.
Frank knew I wasn't a fan of the bag. You know, they suck.
And everybody was talking down about them the night before at the luck of the draw.
I got a mass email from Stacy basically telling me that I'm a...
He basically said some pretty bad things about her. You know, her credibility.
Call me classless. Call me all kinds of things because I was wearing my jersey, my sponsor's jersey there. He called me classless.
Then that was the night before, everybody was there doing that. All the other people
were there. All the other pros had their jerseys on, but of course I get singled out.
Yep. This whole thing was where...
So he didn't just suspend me from, like, a game or a this. He suspended me from all four of the women's events. And of course that pisses me off. That made me mad. Why? Because I know what I'm capable of doing. And that
was money.
That's money in my pocket that he took away from me. He goes, well, I expected you to act like this. Well, absolutely I'm going to act like this. It's crap. You know, he suspended me on hearsay crap. Oh, and then he suspended me from all four of the women's. I was no longer eligible for any of the pro-am things. What else did he do? Oh, I was basically on the clock for the whole entire year. If I did anything else, I was kicked out. Like they went and find something else to
We were pissed. So, and he went back and forth for a little bit, and then. And when he came down and he said some nasty things, when I jumped in on the email and I came back at him and I told him exactly what I thought of him, saying what he did, and told him in a few, you know, in a decent way, but a letter, basically letting him know, it's not acceptable, I'm not going to put up with it. And we kind of went back and forth. We were pissed off about there was money owed to us at that event, from that event. We were going to lose a lot of money. All these events, we already had hotels, flights booked,
and
stuff.
Oh, that was another thing. He said that it wouldn't affect Florida. He was going to get in trouble because he messaged me, and I said, is this going to affect Florida? He said, no, he doesn't anticipate affecting Florida at all. Guess what? It had everything to do with Florida.
Yeah.
And then the nonsense, I wasn't allowed to play in the women's because I was detrimental to the ACL. But I could play in the pro with him on TV. Now, does that make any fucking sense to you?
No. Well, I got to tell you, Jen, like...
It makes no sense.
You can only go so far. He was was limiting how far you could go and how much exposure you could get.
Yeah, he I said, it's funny, you know, he always said I'm super good for TV, and he's told me that 100 times, but only if it benefits him. If it didn't benefit him in any way, then I was no longer good for TV. You know, I'm sure if I had all cornhole jersey on, I'd have been fine. Didn't matter what I said or who I F-bombed or what I said or what I would do, it wouldn't have mattered. But because it didn't benefit him in some way, it pissed him off, so, well, here we are.
All you had to do was like the game changer. That's it. And you would have been, like, yeah.
There's so many other things that revolved around this whole event.
It was a nightmare.
We were, at that point, getting ready to go into a new season. Also, and we were getting calls from people for other spots. We were still, you know, in a partnership with TJ.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I've known TJ. I don't know if, I mean, you guys ever talked about, I know TJ. I helped him develop bags that were knockoffs of the ACOs. Him and I went back and forth on board bags. I mean, we would meet because I lived down in Cincinnati. He was in Cleveland. We'd meet, and we would go through. So we had a friendship, a long term. And so we were writing it out. We were getting calls from other people to even we had a very odd call from a business partner who was it?
Hell, I don't know what you're talking about.
Even all cornhole. Actually,
all cornhole. He asked us if we were still sponsored by BG.
Didn't ask us. Yeah, just, I mean, it was really odd. All this was just going on because it was just kind of suppressing. Trying to suppress what they seen that we had been building. You know, they seen drive. They seen the drive of BG with when we all connected. And, you know, we got by BG. We helped develop some bags. They seen that, and then that was kind of a threat. In my opinion, it's only opinion, but I think it was a threat, more so than anybody else out there at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so you had to kind of suppress that. And they did. Absolutely, they did.
I mean,
there's just a lot of shit that was goes on behind.
There's so much behind the scenes in emails that if we even so people would be like, what?
I still have emails from this chunk that you would read and you're like, really? The shit that went on after that, the threats of the sponsors.
Yeah, he went behind our back to try to buy our contract out from our sponsors.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so much, and you know, it sucks because I would love to have played. I really would. I would love to have played, you know, but at what cost? You know, at some point you have to stand up for yourself and stand up for what's right.
You have to stand up for your sponsors. You know, and I'll tell you exactly the way I look at it is there is, and there was at the time, just unprofessional. Unethical business practices going on that I can't just turn my back on, especially if they affect me, you know, my family, my sponsors that I'm in business with. I can't do that. A lot of people can. A lot of people don't care. You know, they want that opportunity on TV. They want that little bit of limelight where they can, you know, barely show their sponsorship or their. You know, their sponsors' logos, bags, or whatever, but they aren't getting what their just due is when it comes to the amount of money and time that we're putting into this stuff.
Well, it shows a little something that you guys were able to turn something positive into the whole situation, right? Because, you know, you went from, you know, this whole incident, we'll call it, with the ACL, and then you guys have since started U.S. Cornhole. Correct.
Yeah.
So let's switch gears a little bit. All right. I know Jen's about to get all fired
up. Yeah, she's already fired up.
Yeah, no, we're gonna.
I am. As I said, I'm salty about it. Still.
But listen, people want to know these things, right? But they want to hear. So
we've never even told people.
I appreciate you guys being honest. I mean, that's what I didn't know. And you can ask, you know, people who know you, and they'll tell you their opinions about the situation. But I'm like, well, why don't we just go ask the source?
I heard Trey Wire. Nonsense of why I got suspended. I said, are you guys gonna tune me in this video and let me talk, or are you guys just gonna let him sit here and blow smoke because it was horseshit? Yeah, it was crap.
I think he forgot who he was dealing with, that we know a lot more than you give us credit for. I mean, there's a lot of people that I communicate with in this business, and I know a lot of things that are going on, and that's another reason – That's
yeah.
it.
We quit. We're done. Going back.
It's all right though. You guys started up U.S. Cornhole, and you know, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your organization? Like, you know, what are your guys' goals, and like, where do you see it being in like 5 years from now?
Well, we were on a great path until COVID happened.
We all were.
Yes.
We all were.
I was 20 pounds lighter. You know, it's all right.
We were on a perfect, it was going smooth sailing.
We're doing a slow start. You know, we helped, you know, was another sponsor of mine, ours, Pat Ward. And he asked if we would, after all this, would we go into business with him? If he would we like to help him develop some stuff and move forward? I said, absolutely, man. Sure. Yeah, so we would. And that's where we took off. Our goal was just to develop some product, just like we were doing with TJ, developing some product. We know what we like. We know what a lot of people like. You know, we're bags. You know, there's only so many bags out there on the market. People are using the same fabrics. They're
right.
just tweaking things a little bit. A lot of people don't realize.
Someone's paying like $200 for this set of bags, when this set of bag over here is like $60, and it's the same damn bag.
Right.
Just like, different, really. I mean, just a different name yeah. on it.
Oh, believe us, we know. We review enough bags that we know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, you know, what, 12 to maybe 18 different fabrics. Everybody's using the same shit.
I would agree. Probably at least 90% of them are. Now, there are some bag makers that are out there that try to find unique stuff, and those are the ones that we joke about. We like that too. We like unique stuff. You know what I mean? Like we like when people take chances, right? Step outside the norm. Sometimes it's not going to work, right? Sometimes it's not going to be for everybody, but sometimes it's going to work really well. And then you have something that's different than everybody else, and that's what makes the bags great, in my opinion.
And then everybody follows you.
Yeah. Yep. Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yep.
We were the first.
Seven other ones just like it.
Yep. And I think we started that trend with BG before we got going this direction, where we changed the product. We got rid of the sticky side. It's like, because everybody was so, I gotta have stick, I gotta have slick. I mean, that was really where the game was
at all.
So when we come out with the Magic B, it's like, man, we found this material, you know, we worked with TJ, it was just like, man, this bag comes out of the box. It feels great.
Yeah.
I mean, it did break down a little bit after a while, but it was ready to go, man. And it was just a great playing bag. And it wasn't much longer. Several other companies started getting rid of, and they were coming out with stuff like that. You know, I'll consider all sliding type of bags and material. You like that? You like that?
I did.
Started this, and we kept the path going just like we did with
TJ. Well,
we
started the league, just and like the Dave and Buster's leagues.
Yeah.
And we made them blind draws. Not for people like us. You know, people like us isn't what grows the game. It's just not.
Correct.
We hurt the game, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really do. You know, Matt Guys, Jamie Grahams,
you limit, because there's not as many top level players as everybody wants to think there are, because they're just not. You know, there's more beer drinking, have fun, throwing. Leagues.
Yes.
You know, go out for leagues, fun. Those are your people.
So that's where
your mass is. That's where your money. That's where your business is. So you know that we had
really free leagues at Dave and Buster's for like social players.
Yeah.
It wasn't for like us to go in and destroy the place. It was just, you know, and it was going great. It was going so good. And then, the stupid COVID happened. And, well, we still can't get it back in there for now. So
when things start to die down and things are starting to open up again, I'm assuming you guys are going to be looking to expand this and Dave & Buster's kind of across, correct? Now, is this going to be primarily, are you guys primarily aiming this just towards the social backyard type player then?
I think so. If the opportunity arises to cross that, you know, cross paths over there into the other, maybe if there's value to us, we got a family, you know, that's another reason we kind of took a step back. We got little ones, and
it's really hard to play with little ones, and we've tried.
Oh, Sean, do you hear that? Sean, it's hard to play with little ones. All right. All right, it's okay. Carry on.
I never get to play anymore. I complain about it all the time. I have a 3-year-old and a 2-month-old at home, so like I rarely get to play. If I get out on a Saturday and throw a little bit, it's like a miracle. So I've been too hard on myself about my recent performance, but I just don't get to practice anymore. So
that's funny because you say that, because that ACL event that we did go to, the one where all the shitstorm happened.
Yeah.
We had all of the kids, and all 3 of the kids were sick. The little kids. My oldest was not. All 3 little ones, we had to take all 3 of them to the emergency care there when we were there and trying to play.
In Myrtle Beach, yeah.
And that was that event, that ACL event. All 3 of them had to go, and they all had ear infections and all kinds of fevers and this, that, and the other. And the babysitter that we had to watch them inside of the room, a hotel room, and it just was...
So as far as, back to the question about, where we want to go, with the U.S. Cornhole.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things that we're doing is trying to help other people, get product to help bring business into their business.
Okay.
We've been in contact with a lot of different kind of companies that have reached out to us and said, hey, we've seen people run leagues. We would like to try.
Yes, we get a lot of messages like that, which is makes you feel good. Well, how do we grow our league? What do we do? How do we do it?
But a lot of people take advantage of people like that, and I've seen it over the years, and I've tried to step in. It's like, hey, listen, this, you don't want to advertise it to players like us. I said, you don't want us. I said, because.
And we stress that. I don't know if other people do that, but we do. You don't want people like us.
The big name players, they have their set, bags that they throw, like they've been throwing them for years and stuff. Like the pro, that's what I keep harping to a lot of these bag makers. The pro players aren't the ones you need to target. You need to get the up and comers, the ones that are starting to throw, learn a bag series and then like run with it. Those are that's your bread and butter, because everyone else that's a pro out there, they're already stuck on, all cornhole, Reynolds, BG now. They're just stuck there. So, they're not going to branch out from that.
And even your best of the best players can take a mediocre player and just wipe a blind draw clean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why you don't want to go into Dave & Buster's and bring your own team, and then all of a sudden we come, and then next week nobody comes.
Correct.
So
helping people, help people.
Not helping people just become our thing.
Yeah, we do the videos on YouTube. If you're a U.S. Cornhole, you go to the YouTube page. We got different videos. We'll have more coming out. We just kind of slowed up a little bit just with all the chaos and all that stuff that's going on. So we've slowed up a little bit, but we got plenty more. We want to reach those people, exactly what you were talking about, those up-and-coming people, to help. Help get the an idea of what's going on, and different little things, and don't copy me, don't copy one guy here.
Yeah, we can't stress that enough.
you got to kind of. I go how I did it, and I kind of watched everybody, and I picked little things that I could work with. There's certain things I can't do. I can't throw the bag like she does. There's certain things.
I can't throw the bag like you.
No, but there's things you can pick up, basic fundamentals, and that's what we've been trying to teach. Certain fundamentals, and then you open the whole Pandora box of the mind things to think about. That's all.
So instead of playing, I guess our new thing is just helping people.
But that's so huge. Like when we first started getting involved in it, really about 2 years ago, when I would YouTube, right? And I would go on there and I'd type in cornhole, practice, something. You guys were like the first ones that would pop up. So I went through and I watched all your videos and I didn't know there's freaking practice techniques. So things I wouldn't have never thought about. I'm like, you just go out to a board and throw it. But the different training ideas you guys have, and I thought it was great. So if you're listening to this episode and you're a newer player, and we get a lot of that. We get a lot of feedback from people saying, I'm brand new to the game. We're getting a lot of information. I highly recommend going to find your videos. And again, they can find them on U.S. Cornhole, correct?
Yep. YouTube, U.S. Cornhole.
So if you had to give advice to, a new player, right? So, new players, right? Let's say I'm brand new. I want to improve my game. What are some of the first things you're going to have me work on?
Got to make sure you have a short memory.
Yeah, fair, yeah.
so serious. That is like something that people have got to stress. You got to have a short memory, because even, you know, the best of the best, they have bad games. They have bad rounds. Well, if you could throw, you just have to have a short memory. Every bag is different. Do you want to make sense?
No, absolutely.
No, you don't. 100, yeah.
He was helping me. That bag's gone. That bag's gone. Forget it. It's gone.
Right.
New day.
No, so that's a good point. No, that's a good point for somebody new. You know, I think, you know, I didn't have the luxury of help, really. When I started, it was observing and practice. So practice. That's all I would do. I just keep practice to find out what works for me. Then I would see something out. Well, this wasn't working. I'd start getting up into tournaments, and certain things would become a student of the game. You know what? You know certain how the bag reacts and how, you know, why do these things happen. So I would say, if you're serious, you're new in the game, you really want to get better, and you want to play at a different level, is for one, you're going to have to practice a lot. These yep. guys throw. Some of these people have no life. They throw 5 times a week, you know, or more, and that's all they do. So practice. Find somebody that you feel comfortable with at helping you. You know, somebody at a higher level that will give you, you know, straight. They'll shoot to you straight. You know, of how and you know the different things to work on. And we'd even have people send us videos of themselves, and we'd help try to critique
okay.
different things. And so, you know, so we've done that. You know,
they're more than welcome. You can reach out anytime. Absolutely. People send us videos. They send us pictures. Okay. And we help. You know, if that's all we can bring to the table anymore.
But I think there's an overwhelming need with how fast the sport's growing. I think there's a huge need. There's a huge need for that. Because everyone wants to be the pro on ESPN and doing it, but how did they get there? Well, most of them have probably been playing for 6-7 years. The best of the best have been playing for a while. So they have countless hours of practice and blind draws and matches and all that stuff. But someone like me, like, I need to go practice a bunch, and I don't have the opportunity to practice it often. So when I do find that I get the time to practice, I want to make it count. So watching your videos and getting ideas of different, you know, practice session routines and ideas on how I can change it up, it's really, really beneficial. So, I mean, I really loved the videos.
Well, I'm glad you do, and that's what we always tell people. They can reach out to us anytime if there's a topic or something they want to discuss or talk about. You know, we take, I guess that is, everybody knows us on Facebook, so you can send us Facebook messages or anything. You know?
That's what I did.
Any kind of topics. Huh?
That's what I did.
There you go.
I even tried to change our name to go incognito. It's not working.
We'll still find you. We will still find you guys. All right, so...
People, like, when you talk about these newer people, they automatically think they have to go and get the bags that the guys on ESPN are throwing with. And that's not, you know what? Take the bags out of it. I would like to see what all these guys do if we had to go back. If there was just a wipe the slate clean, everybody goes back to court, because we've been in a few tournaments and it causes a shit storm. People are up there crying or a mess with corn. It throws with corn. And
people get so pampered. And
you have a tournament for $1,000 or $5,000 outside. Everybody's just crying. Well, that's, you know what? That's where it began.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what made the top players way back. I'm a firm believer of this. Is corn bags were your first bag that you had to really learn to adapt to. It wasn't this perfect bag that it did what you wanted to do every time. Corn bag, you had to go through its life cycle.
Corn bags are a hot mess.
You better learn how to throw 3 different types of bag with a corn bag. You know, because when they're fat and new, they're fast. Then they break down. They got that nice little dust to them. They're just nice. They're perfect. They feel good. Then they go.
Like corn bag.
Then they go. during that life cycle, but then they go to cornmeal, and it's a piece of freaking. It's like a dirty diaper, and you can't. Everything you can do just to get the damn thing up.
But how do you learn how to throw it when the mice get to it? That's my question.
You gotta get rid of them guys. The point being is you had to learn different styles in the beginning. Not just come out and go with this one bag and it's going to, you know, pamper you through a tournament. So we recommend, you know, a start.
You gotta be super versatile. You gotta be able to throw everything. Don't always practice with one bag either.
And I'll tell you guys, like, my dream is to host a tournament with, get every bag maker to make me one set of unmarked bags, all, like, you know, just different colors, no signage or anything, and just have the top players in the world come by and just pick up a set and be like, yeah, I like this one, let's throw this, and then, like, reveal what bag it is to them at the end of it, and I guarantee you they would all be shocked at how many small bag makers out there are just pumping out just great, great product right now. I mean, that's what we're all about here, is getting those small companies out there and getting the world to notice them, because there's so many great bags that we've reviewed on this show, and, like, I feel like people are just not getting interested in them anymore. But, you know, we're gonna change topics a little bit here, because, Steve, we know that you have one of the most unique throws that we've seen in the game. We were very curious as to how your throw style developed. Could you just shed some light on that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I get it all the time. It started from when I first began. I mean, when I first picked up a bag to throw, I was just coming from throwing horseshoes like most people. It was horseshoes. Okay. So you threw it a little bit harder. And when boards and bags in the very beginning were a whole different ballgame. You know, people were making your boards in your backyard. Most of them were just putting a shitload of poly on them. And they were fast. They were almost all fast. The boards I made, Ohio State Buckeyes.
Hell yeah.
Say amen. OH, baby.
IO.
Here we go.
They were just lightning fast. Throw corn bait, you couldn't keep them on. So I was stepping at the time.
Okay.
You know, couldn't keep them on. Played at a football game. It was a tailgating game playing, and was getting good, thinking I was good. Got in a tournament, got my ass waxed, and realized I got to change things up. So. Started a different throw. I started finessing it.
She loves the fact that you got your ass kicked, by the way. She's, yeah. Like, she's having so much fun.
Have you guys seen us in our yard when we play each other and some funny stuff?
Yeah.
Even the kids go in the house.
For those that aren't familiar with your throw style, just to kind of break it down, if you've ever seen Sean Short throw and you're familiar with him, you guys have a very similar style. I'm assuming, do you know Sean?
I've thrown together. Him and I have thrown together. Before.
That would be the funniest thing ever. I mean, you guys, I mean.
He used to not throw like that.
Yeah.
He hurt himself.
Yeah, correct. Correct. So if you kind of throw it almost like granny style, like if you were bowling. I'm just trying to give some people like at least a loose idea if they've never seen you on ESPN throwing before or anything like that. Like you do. I mean, it's just a very unorthodox throw, but obviously it worked. So
like,
I mean,
kind of like a granny style between his legs.
Yeah,
but it's kind of like a pendulum, and that's how I do it. I mean, my arm in the videos. If you notice, you know, I tell you. I mean, I'm following through every time, and I'm kind of like looking through the sight of a gun. You know, when I release. So it's allowing me to have that straight pendulum rather than coming from my side to get it. So it's just what I developed through that, you know, that period because of the slick boards and not being able to keep it on.
Okay. So, Jen, I want to switch gears to you just for a second, okay? Now, we've gone over for a big segment of the board that you don't really pay attention all too much to the ACL anymore, okay? But one thing that I think is interesting this year is that in the pro division, there was five or six all-women's team going that are playing together in doubles in the pro division. So what I wanted to know is, how far away do you think that we are in general from seeing women regularly finishing top of, like, these big national tournaments?
No, not very far at all.
Okay.
I mean, you got some of those women that I think are better than some of those men.
Yeah. Do you think it's just a pure numbers game? Just because, I mean, if you're going at least in the pro level, I mean, it's got to be, what, 20 to 1, right?
Yeah.
At least, I mean, minimum, right? 50 to 1. I mean, so do you think as we get more women involved in the game, it's just a matter of time before it's pretty even across the board then?
Yeah, this is... Absolutely.
I mean, when me and you finished second, we finished Matt and freaking Brett Waxus up there on the stage.
Yeah, but we beat them. Well...
No,
we should have beat them. We should have beat them.
Yeah, let's not talk about
it. Two or three opportunities.
It was not good.
No, we could have kicked them out of the tournament.
We had it, and we lost it. Yeah.
So how do we get more women involved in the game?
Oh. It's a tough...
Because it can be a little bit of an intimidating environment, right? A little bit, right? If you're not used to that kind of scene. Because when you walk in and there's 50 dudes there... Right.
Say,
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Because just women are not as competitive, I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, like, I'm like a whole different breed.
tell my wife that when we play Mario Kart, please. All right.
I don't even play golf, but I want to kick your ass.
Okay.
Like in Monopoly, I don't let my kids win either. I'm like one of those parents. You know, I want to win everything I do.
Okay.
Like talking about like going like, you know, Tanya Harding on someone.
Well, next summer or spring, we're hoping to host kind of like a bigger tournament ourselves and try to bring in some of the best players around. We'd love if you'd show up and you show off your skills a little bit. And
yeah, bring your tire iron, whatever you need to.
ACL event and I'm allowed.
It won't be an ACL event. We're
planning on running it on Scoreholio, so, you know, we can't...
We're not allowed anywhere around them. We weren't even allowed to submit our bags to them.
Yeah, they turned down our bags.
They didn't even look at them. They're just like, no, I mean, no, no.
Unless we would use their stuff.
So.
Well, that's okay. It's all right. Yeah.
Right on.
Again, we need to get you guys out here for that tournament, because it'll be ran on Scoreholio. Yeah,
well,
no affiliation.
Close to us.
Oh, heck yeah.
Where are you guys out of?
We live in Batesville, Indiana.
We're between Cincinnati and Indianapolis.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So oh, okay.
Heck
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you guys, what, like probably 4 hours
from
us?
Yeah, maybe a little less, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna move on to our favorite segment. It's fun, random shit. So we're just going to rattle off some questions, rapid fire. Give us the first thing that comes to your mind while you're playing, all right? So, beverage of choice while you're throwing some corn bags. Let's go.
Water while you're playing? Not while you're playing.
Oh. Okay.
Is it in water then?
Is what?
Is it yours is water?
Water.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay, so this is going to be a fun one. So we ask this to every guest that's on the show. I think it's going to be fun because you guys have been around the game for so long, and maybe you guys aren't going to give us the same names that we keep hearing over and over and over again. I want each of you to create a Crew Cup dream team. So if you had to play a Crew Cup event, and you could have anybody on your team you wanted, who's going to be on your team?
Four.
Now you can put yourself on that team if they think you're good enough. But who would be your four? Who would be the four people on your crew cup team?
Oh,
It is.
I have a question. Harder because there's so many. And you know what? When you ask things like that, it's like, where is the Crew Cup? Indoors, outdoors? You know, there's so many different, everybody throws a little different.
It's funny, though, every single, I think it's at least 95% of every guest we've ever had, they've all said Ryan Windsor.
Yeah, and that guy.
He's put the time back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just funny. I mean, it is.
All across the board.
Now, I'm a little disappointed because I thought you guys would have went the route of who you're going to have the most fun with throwing. And you tried to create a championship. Money talks. I like it.
I'm still thinking of a fourth. Probably Jamie Graham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on, Steve. Let it rip. What do you got?
I'm between them and Cedro. Between.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cedro is one of those two that is always.
He can get on, and he's deadly. If he gets on, he's a wicked one.
We've had some major battles with him.
Yeah.
Matt, Ryan, Cedro. Four and five is hard to narrow down. I could pick like 10.
Yeah, but that's too easy. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Top five. You definitely want to go with who's consistent all across the board. Not just indoors, not just, you know. You pick a. Matt's always going to be on everybody. Matt, Ryan, definitely. Jamie Graham, he's pretty much a trade. Eric. I mean, Jesus, you got so many people to choose from. It's really hard.
So let me ask you. I'm sure you guys have heard the news by now. So Guy Nation split up this year. Does that surprise you at all? Does that surprise you at all?
I'd kill you.
Love it.
No, it don't surprise me at all. Okay. Talks.
Okay. Fair enough.
Him and I, given this, I would hurt my feelings. Yes, it would. Then I look at my bank account and be like,
Fair enough. You know, fair enough.
Money is, you know, we don't play the game for fun. I mean, it's fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Money's where it's at.
I gotcha. Okay.
I love it. All right, so. See, that's what Sean and I say because we don't win shit.
Yeah.
So we're like, well, at least, you know, we were there to, you know, have fun with everyone.
You see us pouting for second place.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're punching, you know, punching our car doors as we walk to it, but that's all right. All right, so next question up. Who is your favorite person to throw against?
Not each other. That's too easy.
We'll go singles. Just the one person you love to throw against.
They bring out the best in you. You know what you're playing against. You know what you got to do. And if you're a student of the game, you know weaknesses and you know things that you want to try to get to.
Yes.
So, and those guys, your top players, when you're at that level, you know what you need to do. And those are the things. I don't know if
it's random
people that I don't see.
Pedro or Matt.
Okay.
It's like a rivalry thing you got going on in your head.
Okay.
You know, you want to kick their ass more than anybody else.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I used to put names on my refrigerator. It was my knockoff list.
Okay. Oh, hey. Why not? All right. So I wanted to ask, so is cornhole going to ever be an Olympic sport?
No.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I don't see it.
I don't see it happening.
Fair enough.
And I was watching. Okay, so we do tune in every now and then. When you're on Facebook, you see the ACL. So it's not like you don't watch. I just rather it kills me. So,
I get it.
I think it's going to be hard to get the international support behind it. Honestly,
I think so because how many other countries actually?
That's what's going to just stretch it out for many, many years to come.
It is.
So I'll tell you guys when. When COVID first hit, I actually went into a virtual tournament that was They called it Cornhole Europa. So I was able to play with a bunch of guys overseas. And, yeah, we had some decent representatives, but it wasn't as big as the Olympics needed to be. We only had, I think, 8 nations represented in it. Yeah. Most of it was Eastern European. And, you know, to be able to reach those bounds, it's gonna take a minute for this game to reach those distances.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that rugby was taken out of the Olympics and now it's back in, and rugby is played in every nation across the world, like, that it's finally back in, to me, just speaks volumes as how much cornhole needs to grow before it finally reaches it.
100%.
100%. You know what? It's kind of like when the ACL or the ACO, you know, you built the house instead of the foundation.
Yeah.
The game needed the fans. It needed that base. It needed to go through your schools. It needed to be played in the backyard. All of those places first, than having where it's at now, to get people to be fans. You know, it's a hard game to watch.
Yes.
It's boring as hell. So you need people playing it so they are more in tune to it. It's like baseball. I mean, we grew up in school playing baseball, basketball, all these things that are major league sports.
Yeah.
That's another thing, to keep that down until it goes through and builds that fan base around the country.
You need some fun people to watch.
Yeah.
For starters.
I agree.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I mean,
it is.
I am not going to lie. Some of these people, like Cedro and Ryan, some of the best players, and they're boring.
Correct.
You know, you need some, like, Trevor Brooks, man. That guy.
Correct.
Yeah, some fire makes it that much more interesting to watch.
I completely agree with you. Completely.
Cornhole is really boring to watch anyways, and then when you just have people slinging four baggers, it's like, boring. You know, you need some action, Jackson. You need some people hoosing, hollering, screaming.
Part of me wishes cornhole would take, like, you know, the WWE approach. You know, maybe have people, like, smack talking and walk out with... Exactly. Have some sweet outfits on, you know.
Or listen, I think that ACL could take something from, like, ACO, and, like, when they do King of Cornhole and ACO, they're so cool. Like, when you have the walkout music and, you know what I mean, the main stage, there's just something cool about that. You know what I mean? But when everyone's thrown on the main stage of ACL, I mean, there's no different. You know what I mean? Like, it could be, oh, is this a semifinal match or is this the final?
Yeah, it cuts from commercial to them, like, throwing all of a sudden.
Don't cuss.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, don't speak ill about the Game Changer either, because, you know, they still show that same commercial in between them now with that real whole action.
If this episode gets pulled, I'm going to know why, okay? Luckily, we had Frank on before, okay, and we like Frank, so...
And, you know, guess how many shits that we would give. It would be zero. You know, as
soon as you post it and this says Stephen Van Vandenberg, he's
going to
have so many eyes on this thing.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, hey, we greatly appreciate you joining us. Do you guys have anyone you want to shout out? Anything you want to do?
Dude, I'm the nervous one. Have you guys ever noticed, like, even on ESPN, I'm like, duh.
It's not like I am like not this a good speaker. Which is playing, he's definitely, you know. Yeah.
He's like, how do I phrase this?
Yeah, it's like, phrase it in a nice way. You knocked it out of the park, Steve.
So loud and obnoxious.
No, I guess, the biggest shout-out would probably be for, you know, check us out on U.S. Cornhole on YouTube, you know, videos, you know, become a subscriber. I mean, and help us help you and help, you know, more newer players coming into the game. And check out our stuff, man. We got some badass bags out there. Granted, can't play with them in the ACL, but you can play with them anywhere else. You know, these bags are no different than any others, and actually they're tweaked a little bit better. I'm just going to have to tell you that they are.
Yes.
Well, hey, thank you very much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, love what you guys are doing.
This isn't going to be the only time we have you on, all right? We got to have you guys on again. Once you guys get everything up and rolling again, we'll definitely have you guys on again.
Well, thank you for asking us to be on the show.
Maybe we could have a match. You know, maybe that'd be something. Her and I'll go at it out there.
You don't want to get embarrassed already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we don't want to get embarrassed either, yeah, right? Because yeah. like it'll be our equipment that we're recording on, and that would just be embarrassing. Let's be honest.
I don't even know if I can hit the board now.
Whatever. All right. Well, you guys take it easy, okay?
Thank you, guys. Don't forget to edit. I don't want you to get in trouble.
We won't. Don't worry about it.
Good night.